Welcome to Fold in the Cheese, the recipe for fantasy football success. We are your hosts, two average dudes, watched a lot of football, played a lot of fantasy football, and our wives told us to get real jobs.
And we said pass. We would much rather talk about football instead, so here we are. This is a podcast for those who are just starting in the fantasy football. We want to bring some knowledge to help you get started. We'll be here along with you on the whole journey throughout the season, checking in with players and seeing who we should sit, who we should start, all that fun stuff. And for those who are a little more advanced, don't worry, we got some stuff for you too.
Yeah, so if you're a casual fantasy player and you're tired of not winning, we're going to change that for you. If you never played before and you feel like, hey, I think I'd like to play this and I think I'd like to win my first time through, we're here for you too. Let's make this happen. Get some W's.
Let's get it. All right, you listened to part one of our draft episode. You did all your draft prep, and now it's time to hear part two, where you're going to go over draft goals and, of course, listen to those lineups that are going to win your league. Let's get into it.
All right, so we've covered your draft preparation. That's going to get you guys ready to go into the draft room. Now, let's talk about some of your draft goals. Across all the platforms, we mentioned this a little bit earlier, if you skip running backs in the first two rounds, you're going to be looking at somebody like David Montgomery, Miles Sanders, Chris Carson, Josh Jacobs, DeAndre Swift. That's kind of the class of running backs you're looking at in rounds 3 and 4, and you've got to get two of those guys. So if you want to take a leap on Kelce and a receiver and press your luck on running back, you better be pretty comfortable with two of those from that list specifically, because those are the guys who will be available to you in rounds 3 and 4. If I'm doing that, I'm also going to probably stack some more running backs to give myself a little bit of depth and options. I want to get someone like Myles Gaskin, Raheem Mostert, Javonte Williams, Mike Davis, somebody like that in the next couple rounds after that. So we're talking like round 6 through 8 range probably. Those are the guys I'm going to pair with them. So then I've got some options, like I said. If Gaskin goes off, if he becomes like a real thing and is a top guy, great. I can plug him in. If not, I think he's going to be a flex at least all year. I'm safe there if I went with Montgomery and Chris Carson or Montgomery and Jacobs or something like that. I feel all right about my running backs, especially when I look at those two studs I took in the first two rounds. You know, it's Kelce and Diggs or Adams and Diggs or whoever.
So when you're looking at the first six rounds, how many would you say of those six need to be a running back?
You got to have at least two. And if you wait until rounds 3 and 4 for two, then I'd get three in the first six rounds.
I think three is the safest bet of the six. I agree with you. You can still skip a running back on the first two rounds as long as I think you honestly have to get a Kelce and then a top wide receiver. But yeah, I think if you skip on the first two, you got to get within your next four picks, three of them got to be running backs.
Probably so. I will say that the mocks that we did, and just so we all know, like Ethan and I both, we mocked from every position on the board on ESPN, on Yahoo, and on Sleeper. So I've run the 1 through 10 slots on all those. And I will tell you consistently, on both platforms, I can get Gaskin or Mostert somewhere in like the 8 to 10 range, 8 to 10th round range. And for me, I'm comfortable with him being my third running back and being a flex consideration every week. You may not be, and you may, to Ethan's point, you may say, no, I want to jump in on somebody in the 6th round. Maybe you're looking at, like, James Robinson will be probably 4th or 5th round now that ATN's hurt.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt's maybe like a 6th rounder. You know, you can maybe be able to jump in on him. And that would be a solid flex play for you, even if you don't have Chubb. I think Hunt's got his own standalone value. So maybe you look at that. You know, if you want to get three running backs in the first 6 rounds, I think you can make it with 2 as long as you get advantages at other positions, personally.
Yeah, I can see that. I was always used to – see, I think honestly in years past, I got a little too cute and I was like, okay, PPR leagues, I'm just going to load up on these top wide receivers and get like 2 out of my first 3 picks are wide receivers and then I'll start focusing on running back. And then I sometimes would find myself getting burned and my second running back would be, I don't even remember, but it's easy to get burned on the running back position because as Kemper said, yeah, sure, you got about 25 who are solid stars in the NFL, but of those 25, it just gets narrower and narrower as to who can really contribute to your team. And you're really looking at about 4 to 5 studs. Then you're looking at about maybe 4 to 5 solid. And then there's just a big drop. So it's just, it's definitely doable to skip on running back in the first two rounds. But as Kemper said, you just got to be comfortable with throwing out a Dave Montgomery, Chris Carson, and feeling good with them there. And then, you know, looking to get that flex position as just feeling comfortable with that. That's all it all comes down to.
I like this. So this year, and I've tried different, just like you said, I've tried different strategies in the past years. I like going running back this year, and I have not always been on that in that camp. I just think with what's available this year specifically, I'm probably going to end up doing that. Now, if I'm at the turn, maybe I'm looking at Kelce or a top receiver like Hill and pairing them with a running back. But I'll tell you, like if Aaron Jones and Jonathan Taylor are both there, I'm probably jumping on them.
Mm-hmm.
If one of those is there, I'll pair him with Kelce maybe and let it ride.
You taking Kelce in the first round?
I could do it. Yeah, I could do it. I think he could go. I'd be comfortable if it was in the 8 to 10 range. I'd really prefer not to, because I do think Waller and Kittle are studs, and they truthfully could challenge him for the top tight end spot this year. But he is 5 years in a row with 1,000 yards receiving, never been done for a tight end. Like the guy is close to money in the bank. Yeah, I mean, he's absolute money in the bank. And they didn't upgrade their second receiver position, you know, so like it's still just him and Tyreek out there who are unguardable, so you don't need anything else. But Mecole Hardman has not really done a whole lot yet. Not as much as they hoped. And
they lost stud Sammy Watkins.
they lost first week stud Sammy Watkins. Perennial first week stud.
Perennial Sammy 75% of his stats come in week one.
Yeah, so I'm probably – I could see him going in the 8 to 10 range. I would be okay with that. If you do that, you've got to get Eckler, Antonio Gibson, or Najee Harris in the second round, I think.
I think maybe
there's a chance Aaron Jones or Jonathan Taylor.
I was
going to
say
slides.
Aaron Jones, Taylor. I mean, I view them as a slight step up over the ones you just listed.
I do too.
And a lot of the mocks, I was getting Aaron Jones and Taylor consistently on the wraparound. So I think if you get Kelce at 8, you have to get Aaron Jones or Jonathan Taylor. That's just me.
I think if it looks like they're going to be available against, like if you're in 10, obviously, and one of them's there, go for it. Kelce and Taylor, boom, you're done. If you're in 9, and there's still Jones, Taylor, Kelce, and Devontae Adams and Diggs, and those guys are still there, and you're like, okay, you can either, you know, roll the dice and hope that the 10
I mean, that's a good spot.
One of those receivers.
That's a good spot right there to be in. But
yeah. Those guys are all going to be studs for you. I think either way, you're probably going to be fine, but you do need to be mindful. Like I think you probably this year in particular, you want to get a running back in one of the first two rounds. I'd probably do too if I can.
Going on the Chiefs. Obviously, Mahomes is in a category of his own, a tier of his own. I've seen him sometimes in the first round, which I think is a little much, but I've rarely seen him go past round 3. What are your thoughts on the QB position? How many people are there that you would jump on early? Obviously, Mahomes, but is there like a – are you confident in a Josh Allen, a Kyler Murray? I mean, I know you've been talking about your Cowboys and Dak, but what are your thoughts on QB?
So I think there's, and it looks like it's going to be this way. I mean, we both rank it this way. There's probably 10 or 12 QBs you're comfortable with starting this year. Like leaving the draft, this is my QB1. This is my guy. I'll ride him out all season. And that goes, it's a deep list. I mean, it goes all the way down to Brady and Rodgers, who are surprisingly like in the 8 to 10 range of quarterbacks. You know, these guys are studs. You're going to put a lot of numbers. In my opinion, let somebody else take Mahomes. Let somebody else take Allen. Let somebody else take Kyler Murray. They're all studs. They're all going to ball out. But the difference between them and Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson, like 3 rounds later, not worth it. Not even close.
Here's my question. Why is Rodgers going so low? You're talking about an MVP, 48 whatever touchdowns, 4 interceptions last year. Like, why? I know he doesn't run, but why is he going so low? You're telling me that Kyler Murray – is really that much of a better statistical producer than what Aaron Rodgers did last year?
He's not.
Especially 4 rounds different.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's definitely not, he's not even close to a better quarterback. And passing wise, it's not even in the same category, but those rushing yards make a huge difference. And you're talking about a guy who ran for 800 plus yards last year in Kyler, and Lamar's rushing for 1,000. I mean, that's 80 points right there. It's 100 points right there. They can make up all the difference for the passing yards, the passing touchdowns and all that, especially if you got rushing touchdowns at 6 points and passing touchdowns at 4 points, that even greater for the rushing quarterback. So, but at the same time, like I'm with you, I don't think it's going to be that substantial. Now, 2 years ago I had Rodgers and he kind of shit the bed. And so I don't know that, like, I think he got pissed last year because everyone had it. They were out on him. They're like, oh, yeah. he's out. And he just balled out of control. I'm not saying he won't do it again, because he's, in my opinion, he's the best passer in the NFL. I mean, it still is. He does things that I don't think anyone else can do. But, I mean, yeah, 4 or 5 rounds later than somebody like Kyler, I'll take Rodgers.
You know? I was going to say, I'll do that all day. Let people reach on Kyler in the 3rd round. I will sit and wait on Rodgers. So
Kyler reminds me of a young K-Troll, really. I mean, you know, he's just out there. He's wilding out, little guy. He's got the wheels. You know what, though?
Could be broken
at any given time.
You see it? I see it.
Yeah. I thought you could see it. You've seen it in action. You know what I'm talking about. It's really impressive.
So does that mean I'm a DeAndre Hopkins when you just air it out to me just for that Hail Mary at the end of the
game? Who's like the slowest but yet very steady hands receiver? Like who could you try not to be like, who could open because people will just be like tired of guarding
him? Just leave him open. He's fine.
He's not going to do anything. He'll catch everything, but he's not burning anybody off the line, let's be honest.
He's not breaking any roots.
That's you.
Okay, that's fair.
Sure hands, though. Hey, it could be worse. It could be old Stone Hands.
Oh, Stone Hands.
Shout out to Stone Hands. You know who you are. All right. So I like missing out on Mahomes and Josh Allen and Kyler and waiting till that 6th, 7th, or 8th round. Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott. I got Dak, number 2 quarterback. No surprise to anybody, because I guess I'm influenced by Hard Knocks. I don't know. The dude's a stud.
Well, it's also a big question mark. If you look at, as you said, before he got hurt, I think he was the top or second rated quarterback. And so if he continues to do that, then yeah, he's number 2.
Yeah. So do you think that people are only ranking him below that because of the injury concern? Or do you, like, I genuinely think people think that Josh Allen and Kyler are going to put up better stats.
I mean, I honestly think, and I am not a Cowboys apologist whatsoever, I think people are still not sold on Dak. Like, there's no way. Like, he shouldn't be doing that anyway. What he did last year was just, he had to because they were playing from behind. We talked about garbage stats earlier in the earlier episode. They're saying that was just what it was. They were losing those games. They were getting blown out. What were they, 1-3 in the games he started? So, yeah, honestly, I just don't think that people have faith in him in general as a quarterback. Hell, Jerry Jones didn't. How long did it take him to get paid? So I think it's kind of the same thing.
That's true.
It's a big question mark as whether or not Dak is your franchise quarterback, whether in the NFL or on your fantasy team. Like, is he someone that you can rely on week in and week out? So, I mean, is his small sample size last year would say yes, but again, it's a small sample size. But I mean, he could have a huge upside. If you want to draft on potential, Dak is one of the highest ones.
So there's another thing you can do with that. And if you're concerned about Dak, either health-wise or if you think that, hey, the last year was a fluke and the other years he was like really good but not great, not elite, there's a lot of guys you can get late in the draft to serve as a backup or as an insurance policy that I would still honestly be comfortable with starting in the season. I'm taking Jalen Hurts all over the place. And I know Jalen Hurts is not – he's not an incredible NFL quarterback. He's athletic. But, I mean, I never thought the guy was, like, the best guy in the room kind of thing.
But dual threat.
Dual threat. Yep. I like him. I like him a lot. His first full season, you don't have Wentz there. That specter is kind of gone. Now, I guess there's some Deshaun Watson talk and all that kind of stuff. But they signed Gardner Minshew, who, look out. I mean, he's going to take your starting job. Hell of a mustache. But, no, not a starter. So you got Jalen Hurts, you got Joe Burrow.
Watch me throw this over them mountains.
Uncle Rico came in there. He's going to take Jalen's job. But I got Jalen Hurts, I got Joe Burrow.
I like Joe Burrow. I think you and I are both high on Joe Burrow. I liked him at LSU. I liked what he did his first year before he got murdered by his offensive line. But I like Joe Burrow a lot. And I think he could, especially pairing him with Ja'Marr Chase, his buddy from LSU.
Yeah.
Watch out. I think he could have a really, what you would call, bounce back year.
I think he'll be back. I actually worry about his injury more than Dax. I mean, I've heard reports even from him, but he's still tentative. He's still a little bit worried about it. It's worth considering. You know, it's at least worth
keeping. As a backup, in mind. I'm not saying him to start for your team, but have him as your backup.
As a backup,
I see what he does. Yeah.
I love it because he could light it up. I mean, he's got as good of a receiving corps as just about anybody right now with that young crew he's got. And then one guy I'm taking like super late that I feel better about him than Jalen Hurts is Justin Fields. The rookie coming out of Ohio State, he's in Chicago right now. They said they're going to start Andy Dalton. we know that's not going to work. Let's just be honest. They're just buying time for Fields to learn the playbook, right? That's all they're really doing. Justin Fields gets on the field. The dude's got a rocket arm. He's fast. He's mobile. He's going to be a stud. I feel pretty strongly that guy's going to be a stud. And so if I can stash him on the bench and give him some time to earn that starting job, he's got Allen Robinson. He's got Darnell Mooney. He's got David Montgomery in the backfield. Cole Kmet, Jimmy Graham at tight end. He's got some weapons. The guy could play. He's got some safety valves. He's got a good run game. I think he's got a lot of upside, and you don't have to pay him anything for that guy.
I'll let you have Justin Fields. I wasn't a big fan of him, but I'll let you have him. I like what you're saying, but yeah, I'll let you take him. You can
sounds
have
like
him.
We might have ourselves a little bit on the line coming down the road. We'll get back to him.
But you know what? I hope I have the pick for you. I'll just take him just to piss you off, and then I'll drop him when you have the 10th. When you're 10th in line for
tenth
waivers.
In waiver. Jerk. God. Always a step ahead on the jerk moves, your specialty. So on the whole, I'm waiting on quarterback. I just think there's too many good guys out there. You shouldn't have to go any earlier than that. There are some value players that we found on all of our mock drafts on ESPN and on Yahoo. I'm going to run through those real quick. Tell me if you think anybody differently. In the third round on ESPN, David Montgomery, Calvin Ridley, Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf, all third round guys, I think, should be considered in the second round. They're going like middle, late third round in some cases. I would target them on ESPN.
In the if I see any of those in the third, I am...
You're jumping on it.
I am saying thank you.
Yeah, I agree. But it's happening in the mocks. And then the fourth round on ESPN, Josh Jacobs, who's a starting running back, who's got a decent track record. He's got some competition now, but he's good. CeeDee Lamb, my boy. Darren Waller in the fourth. Give me all of those. Right, if I can get any of those in the fourth round, I'm good. I got Amari Cooper in the fifth. Can't believe he's dropping in the fifth round. That's just ridiculous on ESPN. And then skipping a few rounds, like I said earlier, Myles Gaskin in the ninth. The guy's a starting running back, and he balled out last year in Miami.
I mean, if you can get any starting running back in the ninth, you take it.
I think so too. That's what I mean. Like if you're gonna wait a running back, he's a great one to get later in the draft. Antonio Brown's going in the ninth, and I know there's a lot of. It's a household name. There's a lot of, you know, people have got different feelings about the guy. He knows Tom Brady. He's gelled with Tom Brady. Tom Brady loves the guy. He brought him to Tampa.
He moved him into his house.
Moved him into, literally into his house.
Giselle whipped him into shape. It's good.
He's going to be underrated, I think. I mean, I think people are not going to, they're going to, too many other weapons. You know, you've got Godwin coming out of the slot. You got Mike Evans, always a touchdown threat. Antonio Brown, toward the end of the season, was really pouring it on in the playoffs. I would expect to see him better conditioning, knowing the playbook, coming out of the gates a little bit hotter.
He's never going to know the playbook. It's Antonio Brown.
Well, you play with Roethlisberger long enough, you don't need a playbook, right? It's just backyard football. And then I got Jalen Hurts in the 10th or the 12th round. I think that's ridiculous for what could be a top 10 quarterback. Values for me. Values on Yahoo. And like we mentioned earlier, these guys have got some different rankings, so you'll see what happens in your own drafts. But I like Javonte Williams in the 8th on Yahoo. I think the guy's a monster. He runs angry. I watched this dude run all over me in college. Not me specifically. That would be very painful. But my beloved Wake Forest, Demon Deacon's team, couldn't stop the guy. We don't sign players that are big enough to stop a guy like that. So Javonte Williams is stud in the 8th. He's going to get that job over Melvin Gordon at some point. It's just a matter of time. And he's going to have a role either way if they both play. You got Juju dropping to the 10th in Yahoo. Say what you want about Juju. In the PPR league, the guy is worth much more than a 10th round pick. I think that's ridiculous. I like Deebo Samuel in the 11th. Another player coming back from injury that I think could have a lot of opportunity there. If Trey Lance gets that job, he can air it out, pair him with IU and Kittle. You got three solid weapons there, and Deebo has shown in flashes what he's capable of.
I'm going to throw one in the 11th as well. Damian Harris on the Patriots, just because once again, that's a starting running back. You know, he showed big flashes of it last season with the Patriots because their offense was shambles. But once they kind of instilled him as the go-to back, he put up big numbers, and now he finally has a chance. And also showing that Mac Jones being the starting quarterback, you know, he ain't running. So it's going to give Damian Harris a lot more opportunities to run. He may not be a full three down back because you still have the James White in the backfield, but he has a chance to, you know, he could get you 900,000 yards. And if you can get him in the 10th or 10th, 9th, 10th, 11th, that's a value right there.
That's huge. Yeah, and Cam's not taking away goal line carries, you know, to your point, Cam not being there. You know, Cam's good for 8 touchdowns a year out of the goal line, you know. I don't think Mac Jones is going over the top or deking anybody, you know. I've seen Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. I'm not sure who's really going to emerge from that backfield, but I think they're both good players, and they're both in a good offense, and they're both going like the 11th to 13th round. Like, that's crazy. I would maybe even get them both and just be like, you know what, I'll ride the hot hand, figure out who it's going to be later. If Singletary comes out hot and he catches more passes, fine, I'll put him in. If Moss is getting all touchdowns, they may both be able to be played. We'll see. And then on Yahoo, this is a player we're not going to talk a ton about, but Michael Thomas is floating around there.
Real murky
future. Who knows what's going to happen? He's going to the 12th round in Yahoo. At that point in the draft.
Remember when he used to be a first-round potential pick?
I remember him. He was like a top-3 pick, you know, legitimately. And, like, maybe he doesn't play for 10 weeks. Like, maybe he's sitting on your bench for 10 weeks. Now, number one, you probably have an IR slot, which you could pop him into because of COVID. Like, most leagues have got IR slots. Number two, like, in the 12th round, you're not looking for your studs. They're already gone. This is a guy who could be a stud that you could just wait it out. Can you get him in the 12th round? Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, why? Yeah, why?
All right, so this is the fun part of the segment here. Ethan and I have conducted the perfect draft for you. We're going to give you 3 or 4 players in each round that you need to target. And once you get one of these guys, you're set. We've both conducted and put together a league-winning roster for you. This is money in the bank. Money in the bank, all right? If you have these rosters, mine or his, you're set up to win a league. Then we're going to help you through the season with waivers. This will do it for you, okay? In the first round, you want one of the top 6 running backs. We're talking McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, Zeke, Derrick Henry, and Saquon. You say what you want about Saquon. I'll take him at 6, and I'll run the risk. I mean, he's a stud. He's a total stud.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get one of those 6, consider Kelce or Hill. I like both of them in the first round. Those are my both top-rated tight end and top-rated receiver. That's fine. On the second round, you're targeting Jonathan Taylor. Nick Chubb is falling to the second round in a lot of drafts. Eckler, Antonio Gibson, who I love this year, and Diggs, who I think will have another stud year. Those are your first 2 picks. You're feeling really good about your roster already. Round 3, you're targeting Calvin Ridley, Justin Jefferson, DK Metcalf, or David Montgomery. If you skip the running back in the first 2 rounds, I'm going Montgomery there. If you didn't, I'm getting one of those total stud receivers. Those are all 3 top 10 receivers in my books. You're set. Round 4, I don't know if you've heard this name come from my mouth, CeeDee Lamb. I think I haven't been that jacked about a CD since I bought that Wicked soundtrack back
in
college.
Wow.
Do you remember that? I used to blur that down the halls. He's defying gravity in Dallas.
I don't even know what to say right now.
All right. I also like Kittle and Waller in the 4th round. If you grab one of those, you will not regret it.
I mean, I actually have seen Wicked in New York, so I can't give you that much crap. I have seen it. It's delightful.
It's amazing. It was a top musical until Hamilton came along and just destroyed it. Hamilton's the shit. All right, 5th round. Again, I'm shocked by this, but Amari Cooper is just sitting there. And Cooper Kupp's sitting there, too. Both studs. Take one of them. You won't regret it.
Amari Kupp. Get him. Get him. Amari Kupp.
Cooper. Like sister back in the day.
Tia and Tamara.
Tia and Tamara. In the 6th round, I'm taking Dak. I think you've heard me say his name a few times as well. I think he's in a monster year. You'll see I'm kind of pairing him with CD and Amari in some cases, CD and Zeke in some cases. I want that Dallas offense because the NFC East puts up points. The defenses aren't that incredible. And Dallas plays in the dome, and they're going to light it up. 7th round, give me T. Higgins. Or go for your tight end here if you didn't jump on Waller or Kittle. Hockenson's making it to the 7th a lot. Kyle Pitts is making it. Logan Thomas, I really like in Washington. He's almost always available in the 7th if you can't get Pitts or Hockenson.
Surprisingly enough, I am liking the Washington offense. First of all, I love Fitzmagic, so I'm just happy he's there. But between Antonio Gibson, which Kemper already mentioned, Terry McScorin, I mean, as a receiver in Washington, pairing him with Fitzpatrick, I think is a good match. He has a quarterback who can actually throw, as opposed to
air it out. Yeah.
So, and now when you add in a Logan Thomas, I mean, it's a very similar offense.
Like, I think they got Curtis Samuel too. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they picked up Curtis Samuel, who's going to be a nice little gadget player. And I shouldn't, I mean, he's more than that, but that, I mean, he's a stud athlete as well. So yeah, put them all together. And McLaurin is wicked fast.
Wicked.
For that wicked theme. Wicked fast.
He can pock the ball in the end zone.
In the end zone. Pock the ball. All right, eighth round. If you missed out on Dak, this is where you can get Russell Wilson, which is just nuts. Or you can maybe even get Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, if you want to get one of them. They're all just sitting there, eighth round. So go for it if you didn't get Dak earlier. If you did, here's where I like to take Javonte Williams or Raheem Mostert. Stud running backs when they have the opportunity. Mostert, if he can stay healthy, he's a stud. I mean, the guy is fast as all get out. I watched him play college ball at Purdue. Always liked him there. Love him on the Niners.
I mean, 2 years ago, he was a, you know, RB2 and putting up good points. He just had some injuries last year, but I think he could really bounce back.
Yeah, and you're looking, again, you're looking eighth round here. So you've already got your starters. Mm-hmm. So this is like a high upside guy who has done it before. You're not like totally hoping on him to come out of nowhere. I mean, he's got the talent. They got Trey Sermon now, who I think is also a stud. He's a big back. He's a different
type.
Yeah, different breed. I think Mostert's going to get his. Ninth round, I'm going with Myles Gaskin. Enough said. Get the dude. Put him on your roster. He's going to be a stud for you. Tenth round, give me Juju, Jalen Waddle, or Deebo Samuel. I'm going receiver here again. These guys all have a lot of upside. Waddle really interests me. I think he could be the number one in Miami. He went so early in the draft. He's unguardable. I heard a stat. His average touchdown in college was 44 yards, which is like playing freaking Madden or something. Like, it's insane.
That's a cheat code.
And he had like 27 touchdowns or something. I mean, like, it's not like he had like three touchdowns and they averaged 44 yards. It's like every one of them was just a long bomb. So just get him. 11th round, give me Tyler Higbee or Jonnu Smith. I like both those as late round tight ends, especially if you missed the tight ends earlier. These guys will be just fine for you. Higbee should be in a really good situation with Stafford. Jonnu is a freak. He's a stud athlete. He will do well for you. Don't you worry about him. If you didn't get one of these guys and you already have your tight end, this is where I'm looking at that handcuff that we talked about earlier. You got Tony Pollard, you got Alexander Mattison, AJ Dillon. This would be a good round to start looking at your handcuffs and make sure you got your running back slot covered. 12th round, I like those backup quarterbacks I mentioned earlier. Give me Jalen Hurts or Joe Burrow. They're both one in the 12th round. Honestly, they could both be starters for you. If you left the draft and had Hurts or Burrow as your starting quarterback, you're not screwed. So give me one of them as a backup, and you're in great shape in case they completely go off. What I don't want is I don't want some other schlub in my league getting Jalen Hurts and beating me with him. I mean, that just drove me nuts because I could have got him in the 11th or 12th round, you know? So give me that late. Give me Devontae Smith or Elijah Moore. I like these two rookies. Devontae's in Philadelphia. Elijah's in New York with the Jets. Both studs in college. We got Devontae's Heisman. Elijah Moore had like 250 yards in a game one time at Ole Miss. The guy's ridiculous. Give me these guys high upside picks late in the draft. If they turn into something, great. If they don't, you drop them for a waiver later.
Do you equate Elijah Moore to a fellow Ole Miss alum, DK Metcalf?
Not quite. I think DK Metcalf is in a physical specimen league of his own. Maybe he and Derrick Henry are in like the same boat as far as like this person should not be alive. This human should not exist. Elijah Moore, I guess he for me is kind of more like this is a kind of a cheap comparison, but like Rondale Moore out of Purdue. Like he's really fast. He's got great hands. He's a complete playmaker, very dynamic, game-changer type. He's got the capability. Now, he's more of a possession receiver than Rondale Moore was, but I like Elijah. 14th round, probably going to take a defense here. You can jump on Justin Fields here. He's still going to be hanging out. 15th round, if you got to take a kicker, go for it. Yahoo, you actually don't have to take a kicker. So you can look at somebody else for depth. You can grab a kicker later before the first game starts. Don't forget about your boy Deshaun Watson. You never know what's going to happen here. He's a good football player. If he gets an opportunity, he might be worth rostering. All right, it's time for our league-winning roster. This is what you waited for. Ethan's got one. I got one. If you draft these teams, you're winning your league. It's more complicated than that, but let's just start with this, and we'll work the waivers with you throughout the season. Ethan, you want to go first?
So how you want to do it? You want to go, I say my QB, you say your QB, or just go whole rosters?
Give me a whole roster.
Whole roster. You want me to go Rasta. Whole roster? All right, my QB one. We talked about him. You can get him later. We're going to go with let him cook, Russell Wilson.
Russ, Danger Russ.
Danger Russ. Let the man cook. Russell Wilson.
I love a short quarterback. Always have.
I wonder why. My running back, my number one running back, I got Jonathan Taylor from the Colts. I think you can get him towards the end of the first round, but he's also been sneaking into the second round. You get him either of those places, you're sitting pretty. My second running back, I have Aaron Jones. Once again, he's similar to Taylor. You can get him fringe first round, come around the back end mid second round. You get him there, you're good. Wide receiver, love the Tampa Bay Bucks, love their offense, love Tom Brady, so I'm going with Mike Evans. Big physical guy, can throw it up to him. Took him a little while to gel with Brady last year, but got a season under a belt, Super Bowl under a belt. I think they can do even bigger things. Next wide receiver I got is Tyler Lockett. Some people strategy whether or not you get a quarterback wide receiver from the same team. We can talk about that in another episode, but I like their matchup. Russell has really good chemistry with Lockett. You know, sometimes he could be a little streaky, but he'll have those games where it's 150 yards, three touchdowns, and you're sitting pretty. You're winning that week with both Russell and Tyler.
He's a stud.
Going to my tight end, talked about him a little bit. In L.A., he is the main tight end now. It's Tyler Higbee. Don't have to worry about Gerald Everett. I like the Matt Stafford move to L.A. I think he'll be really able to air it out in that Sean Payton offense. Just going to be a lot of opportunity for him there in L.A.
Sean McVay.
What did I say? Sean Payton?
Sean Payton.
Jeez, what is my deal? Thank you.
In other news, Sean Payton has been traded.
He's been traded to the Rams with Matt Stafford in a weird five-team deal. And a washing machine. In the Sean McVay offense, I definitely like Stafford and Tyler Higbee. For my flex, I got my third running back. I got Clyde Edwards-Helaire from the Chiefs. You know, he started off really strong last year for the Chiefs, kind of tailed off a little bit. But again, when you look at that offense, you got Kelsey, you got Mahomes, you got Hill. He'll really round out that offense and can really get some opportunities, being the feature guy. Don't have to worry about a Le'Veon Bell lurking around. So I like him there as a flex. You can kind of wait on him maybe in like the third, fourth, or even fifth round. And he's a high value pick there. And then rounding up my bench, we talked about a little bit on this podcast. We got Javonte Williams. We got Mostert. A wide receiver out of Denver I really like is Jerry Jeudy. He had some really good strides his rookie year. I really think he'll be able to make an even bigger jump his sophomore year here. Talk about Deebo Samuel. My backup quarterback, someone we have not talked at all about, is Baker Mayfield. He's a hit or miss guy. He could do a lot of big things, but he's a little inconsistent. But as my backup, I like him. Get him late. I think he's a good value there. And last on my bench is Corey Davis, making the move from Tennessee to the Jets. Again, he was a stud coming out of college. Didn't find his full groove in Tennessee, but could be a feature guy in New York. So, again, if he's the last on my bench, I'm happy with him there.
I like Corey Davis a lot. I liked him in Tennessee these last couple of years. He really did turn into the receiver we hoped we'd get 5 years ago. He is a stud. He can be really good. And that Jets offense, I think, is going to revolve around him until Elijah Moore gets up and running. And so it's a great pick, especially that late in the draft. It's a hell of a value. Mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield was once called the K-Troll of quarterbacks.
So Kepler's been Kyler Murray, he's been Baker. The comparisons are just endless.
Like a hybrid of those two, really. Like, I'm the guy who's going to bring an RV to training camp. That's definitely my move. but then, you know, I'm feeling like a little jitterbug out there. You know,
there we go.
I got these wheels. All right, so in your draft, the way you get Ethan's lineup is you go Jonathan Taylor and Aaron Jones in the first two. You got Edwards-Helaire coming back in the third. You got Evans and Lockett in the fourth and fifth. And you got Wilson in the sixth and Higbee probably a little bit later. Like, you're probably stacking your bench a little bit with Javonte and Mostert.
Yep.
Coming back and getting Higbee.
Higbee, you can get him late, as we talked about. I'm looking at 9-10 range for Higbee. So get the Javonte. Shore up your bench before you get Higbee.
Yep. I love that team. I think that is a league-winning team for sure. I'm going to share mine as well, which is a league winninger team, slightly
I'm gonna give you one B. I'm one A.
Oh, really? Yahoo's probably gonna give me a B minus, but they're a bunch of jamokes. They don't know anything. All right, so my league winning roster. You draft these guys, you're set. You're golden. Starts with fragile quarterback Dak Prescott, who we hope will make it through the whole season.
Wild card.
I got Dak as he's my number two quarterback, so I've got a lot of faith in him. I think he's a total stud. If you get him in the sixth round or something, I think you're golden. I got Zeke Elliott RB1. So I think you could tell from Ethan's draft, he likes that late first round. He likes that turn, that 9-10 range of the draft. I'm like in the 6-7 range. I think you can get Zeke in a lot. His average draft on ESPN is like 8.8. So you can get him potentially anywhere from the 6th to the 9th pick. I like Zeke a lot in the first round. I think he's going to rebound and be awesome this year. Jonathan Taylor on the turnaround there. If he's still available, great. Maybe it's a stretch. He's still there. Fine. Throw in Eckler. You know, throw in Antonio Gibson. I like those guys a lot too. I got Calvin Ridley as my wide receiver one. He's the man now in Atlanta. I think he's going to make people pay. And Pitts is going to be just enough attention off of him to let him open it up. You know, I got CD Lamb in there, wide receiver two. Enough said about him.
I better hear Amari Cooper's name come up. If I don't, this is not.
You were going to.
This
you were
is
going
not
to.
A winning team.
I got Hockenson as my tight end because I think you can get him in the 6th or 7th. And if I can do that, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And then my flex, I'm taking Cooper Kupp or Amari Cooper. Now, I would take Amari Cooper, but I don't love the idea of having literally 4 Cowboys on my starting
team. I mean, you could just be going all in on that offense. It's possible.
I could. It's true. And then, I mean, you do stack the bye weeks, so maybe that's good. But anyway, I got Cooper Kupp there. I like him a lot, too. Back to Ethan's point about Stafford in LA right now. I think he's going to do some good stuff.
With Sean Payton.
He's going to elevate all these guys. With Sean Payton and that meatball sub and new washing machine they got. Ethan and I both put defense, somebody, kicker, somebody. It doesn't really matter. I mean, you'll get these guys late in the draft, and it's the proven fact that the top scoring defense from the previous year never repeats the top scoring defense. So everyone's jumping all over the Rams. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Nor is there a big difference in the top scoring defense versus the 10th.
I've changed defenses so many times in the first 5 weeks of a league, only to finally settle on one that ended up being like the number 2 defense overall that I got like the sixth week of the season. You know,
I would
like,
always
no
just,
one was on them.
I would always just choose whatever. A defense who was playing like the Jets or the Jaguars. It's like, who are they playing? All right, yeah, here we go.
You can stream. It's a great strategy. And Ethan can tell you, I cut defenses and kickers out of our league. I
did.
Hate that shit. I don't want any part of either of them. I think it's so frustrating to lose a game because a kicker got 22 points and your kicker got 1. I'm just like, I'm dying here. On my bench, I also have Javonte Williams. You know, I got Myles Gaskin. I got Juju Smith-Schuster. I got Tony Pollard backing up Zeke there. I did the handcuff because I already had Hockenson in my tight end. And I got Jalen Hurts, who I've talked about, backing up Dak Prescott. I think they're both top 10 quarterbacks. So if Dak does get hurt or doesn't look sharp, I'm fine. I got Hurts anyway. And then I'm taking Devontae Smith in the last round. To stash on my bench because I think he's got a lot of upside. Should be the number one in Philadelphia this year.
That's a good 1B team right there. I like it.
You think that, huh? We'll be sporting the Bengals and Dolphins in the consolation round this year. Just wait and see. All right, that's all we got for today. That's going to wrap it up. And that's a lot of information, action-packed episode. I promise the next ones are going to be a little bit lighter, but we want to make sure you win this draft so you can set yourself up to win this league. And the draft is it's where it's at.
The draft, honestly, some people say it could be the funnest part of your fantasy league just because it's the most exciting. You get to pick your squad to see who's going where, who you're cursing at. So we just want to make sure you're ready, have all the information you need. And then, as we said, we'll be with you throughout the season and keeping everything going, giving you some breakdowns of what's been going on, trends we're seeing, sleepers you might want to think that weren't drafted that could be shaking it up in the first couple of weeks. So got a lot to go for.
Y'all just subscribe. Keep along with us. For Robbie O'Shea, I'm Seamus O'Toole.
And as always, keep folding that cheese.